I'm Hillary McClure, Multimedia Director at Cybercrime Magazine. I'm here today with Burton Kelso, cyber expert and owner slash chief technology expert at Integral. Welcome, Burton. Thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks, Hillary. Thanks for having me on.
So, Burton, I read a recent article in Reader's Digest, which was titled, "Are Robotic Vacuums Really Worth It?" And you broke down the pros and the cons for consumers, basically on whether or not they should purchase a robot vacuum for their homes. So I'd love for us to start out by having you take us through what types of information and devices you reviewed and where there could be some privacy or security issues.
As far as robotic vacuums are concerned, I think at the base level, I mean, they're a good investment if you have a one-level home, or if you have a multi-level home, you could definitely purchase multiple robotic vacuums. But I mean, at its core, I mean, it's a good utility to have, especially if you're a busy professional and you want to make sure that you want to keep your house clean, or also if you own pets and you have to deal with pet hair. I mean, definitely these are good investments. But I just think for general disclosure, people need to be aware that a lot of these devices are actually tracking personal information about you. You know, many people don't read the terms of service when it comes to a consumer electronic devices. And so one of the purposes, or actually, and it sounds odd, a side hustle for these large tech companies is to try to collect user data and to sell that information to advertisers who are trying to target individuals. Now, the things that can occur with some of these devices is, number one, they can get your personal information, like your home information, perhaps an email address, which can be used for general marketing. But the other scary thing with some of these vacuums is that they could actually be taking measurements of your home. So obviously, if you're using a robotic vacuum in a 1,500 square foot home, then it could be perceived that you have somewhat limited income as far as buying items. But if you are in like a 5,000 or 6,000 square foot home and your robotic vacuum is measuring that data, it definitely can be interpreted that you have unlimited income. And so it helps these tech companies kind of get an idea of how much income your household has, and definitely can direct high-end advertising directly to you. So, I mean, I think that would be the scariest thing that consumers would have to worry about. And of course, the other thing too is this, the data they collect. What happens if the company gets breached? I mean, that just puts you in a bad situation that your personal information is floating out there.
Right, exactly. That makes a lot of sense. And I definitely hear from folks that consumers, and I guess I would include myself in that, so, we don't necessarily read through the what we're agreeing to when we buy IoT devices, especially something like a robotic vacuum or a smart fridge or, you know, whatever the latest thing is. And I guess I didn't think of it in terms of, with the vacuum, the square footage of your house. I guess I was thinking, like, can someone hack into these devices? But it sounds like it's more how you're targeted by what you agreed to when you buy this device.
Keep in mind too, Hillary, that with any of the IoT devices, they definitely can be hacked in, but it's not something that you would think about where someone would log into the vacuum itself and see the camera on the vacuum. It's more of a process called credential stuffing, which essentially cyber criminals will look or gather information about you on the dark web and use it to target either a specific smart home device, like say your Ring doorbell or your Blink camera system or any video camera system, or they can take that username password data and start to see if you as a consumer have used that information to log into other accounts, such as social media or even financial accounts like your credit card and banking accounts. So I think that's another major thing that consumers have to worry about as far as, you know, a device being hacked into, because we definitely, as consumers, get really lax as far as our username and password situation when it comes to these devices.
Okay. Okay. That makes a lot of sense. And I, for some reason, I don't have a robotic vacuum, but for some reason I forgot that they do have a camera, obviously, to see where they're going, I guess. But makes sense that hackers aren't trying to just have a live stream of your robotic vacuum in your home, but instead are trying to use that as an access point for more information on your network or what have you.
That can occur, but most criminals, when they're logging into IoT devices, are either A, trying to get more detailed account information or just more details about you. Now, it could be a threat if you have a neighbor that wants to, that's, say, tech savvy, and they want to find out a little bit more information about you in case your joint or your place, so to speak, would be the best time to burglarize you. But other than that, most cyber criminals are more after the personal information that these devices and what your account has so that they could target you from afar.
Sounds like there's an opportunity, just like as a side note for anyone listening, sounds like there's an opportunity to pitch some kind of updated Home Alone version with IoT devices. just thoughts. if anyone needs a script, reach out to me. I'm just kidding.
Hillary, I will say one thing that may be coming down the pipe that is a little scary is that Amazon has its own smart robot that's coming out. It's like the Alexa smart home robot. That could be a little bit more scary because basically it is a mobile version of Alexa. And as you all know, or anyone listening should know, that your Alexa device, especially if you've got an Alexa show, has a camera on it. So it definitely could lead to a situation where you've got a scenario where a criminal could take control, Amazon Astro, I believe it's called, and control it to see what's going on in your smart home.
Mm, that's a great point. And did they name that after the Jetsons? I don't know. I was thinking the dog and the Jetson. Okay, yeah, okay.
Yeah, they had to name that after Astro, the dog. I mean, I think it's a good idea, but at the same time, if we were more in an age where people were smart or smarter about their smart home devices and using their usernames and passwords, it would be great. But I mean, we're just in the age where people just bury their heads when it comes to their IoT devices and don't think about what the consequences could be if a criminal were able to access your smart home technology.
Right. That's a great point. And so with that point, I think it's a nice segue into my next question for you, Burton, which is, how do you recommend that the general public move forward with their smart home devices? What advice would you give to them or best practices to stay secure, since this is inevitably just becoming a part of our everyday lives? And it does, you know, to your point, it does help make things a little easier in lots of instances.
I know there's a lot of tech people out there that won't go with smart home, but I mean, we've got smart home everything at home, from the garage door openers to smart cameras, all that stuff. I mean, even smart lights. I mean, we have it all. But the things that I do and what I would recommend everyone else do when it comes to their smart home tech is to beef up their passwords. Number one, make sure that you're using different passwords for all of your online accounts, especially your smart home, because some smart home hubs will allow you to, or you have to log in with other accounts to get them to connect together. So for example, if you've got Alexa smart home hub and you want to connect your Honeywell thermostat to it, you got to enter in the username and password credentials. So for every smart home device you have, use different passwords. Number two would be to make sure that the passwords you aren't using aren't floating on the dark web. So if you were to use a password manager such as LastPass or even the password manager in your browser, those password managers will alert you if passwords that you're currently using are already out on the dark web. You stay safe using a password manager, and it doesn't matter which brand you use, but they will alert you if those passwords are out there so that you know that you need to change them and keep all of your devices safe. And then finally, you need to make sure that you aren't already breached. It's a great website called haveibeenpwned.com that allows you to type in email addresses that you normally use for your online accounts and make sure that those email addresses haven't been leaked in a data breach. And if they have, you just need to change your passwords and just make sure that you're keeping your devices safe and secure.
That's great advice. I've used that website before. And I'm always a little, I mean, it's a little shocking when you see, and then you're like, oh no, I probably had the same password as that for this and this other thing. And then you're like, okay, now I need to do my homework and I need to change stuff, but better to be informed for sure.
Hillary, I'm just curious. Are you willing to share how many times you've been pwned since you visited that website?
It was just three, and they were really like websites I didn't even buy anything from. They were ones that I just created an account because I think you had to. It was like Hotlook was one, which was like a fashion website for like discount fashion wear. In order to see what the deals are, you need to create an account. So that was breached. But, three was still more than I thought I would have. I was like, oh, I'm not going to have any. But I know some people can have, like, you know, more than that, obviously. But still, I was like, really? Those things? Ugh. Like, so, I mean, I guess it's better that it's those than something more significant. But
I think that's the scary thing, too. I'm glad I asked that question because I don't think people realize how many online accounts they have, and they may have signed up for something and used their old standby password for, you know, for one of those forgotten websites, and then it gets leaked out in the data breach. And of course, cyber criminals are going to try every combination of username and password they are able to, and then next thing you know, they're in your stuff. So it's very important to always make sure that you are aware where your information is has been leaked on the dark web so that you can keep your account safe.
Burton, anything else you'd want listeners to know as we wrap up our conversation? This has been a lot of fun, by the way. I'm really having a good time.
The main thing is just to remember this when it comes to cybercrime. And of course, this is why a lot of IoT things are hacked, because 99% of all cybercrime out there requires user interaction. And user interaction sometimes meaning you click on stuff, on links that take you to malicious websites, but also it involves using poor cybersecurity habits, such as using weak passwords and just making sure that your information's not out there. So I would highly recommend that you, especially at any time's a good time, but at least once a year, do a good cybersecurity audit to make sure that all of your devices are safe and secure.
Excellent. Well, Burton, thank you so much for joining us today and taking the time to come on the show. It was a real pleasure, and I'm really excited that I got to speak with you today. Thank you.
It was fun, Hillary. Check to see how many times you've been pwned.
I'm going to go do that right now. All right. Well, thank you, Burton.
Thank you.
I'm Hillary McClure, Multimedia Director at Cybercrime Magazine. Joining us today was Burton Kelso, cyber expert and owner and chief technology expert at Integral. And you can listen to all of our podcast episodes, especially more like these, at cybercrime.radio.